Good morning, this is Bob Oakes. There are exactly 4 weeks to go until the party primaries in the race to fill the late Ted Kennedy's U.S. Senate seat. And on the Democratic side, the first big policy split has emerged. The issue, the national health care overhaul, and whether it should include restrictions on reproductive services for women. The so-called Stupak-Pitts Amendment is seen as denying access to abortion. Attorney General Martha Coakley says it's a deal-breaker for her and that she can't support a bill that restricts abortion. Congressman Michael Capuano voted against that amendment but then for the health care bill in the House this past weekend, saying compromise was needed in order to reach the larger goal of reform. CityYear co-founder Alan Casey says Coakley's view would kill health care reform, and venture capitalist Steve Pagliuca says voting no is akin to siding with insurance companies. When we spoke with Coakley yesterday about this issue as she campaigned in Worcester, she emphatically said she would vote no on health care in the U.S. Senate next year if the plan still includes the Stupak-Pitts Amendment.
I think that it is unacceptable to say that the only way that we can get health care reform is to now hobble further constitutional rights of women who are guaranteed under Roe versus Wade and under our Constitution to access to reproductive choice.
In the House, there were many Democrats who voted against the amendment, but then still voted health care up because it was the only way to get health care passed. If it comes to the Senate and this amendment is still attached, you'll vote no to the amendment and then no on health care?
Yes.
You were the only no-show on Sunday night at the League of Women Voters Forum out in Amherst, citing a previous engagement. Do you feel you have an obligation to the voters to attend these debates?
I feel I have an obligation to the voters to be accessible, available, to run a good campaign, and to make sure they know where I stand on the issues. There was one debate on Sunday that I had told the organizers I was not going to be able to attend. We get two or three invitations for debates every day. There are many that don't happen because one candidate or another isn't available.
Well, there are some folks who also say that what you're engaged in is the political version of Muhammad Ali's rope-a-dope. You know you're ahead on points, so you stand in a corner, take a few punches, come out toward the end, throw a few yourself, and expect to win.
Yeah, see, we've run a very proactive and aggressive campaign. I've engaged, as I said, with my colleagues multiple times. I think that one of the reasons that I'm out in front and have been is because voters know exactly where I stand.
Looking at the last 6 weeks of your schedule available on your website, there were no events where you just meet regular folks at an MBTA stop, for example. Are you reluctant to engage in retail politics, meeting regular people?
Absolutely not. I would argue that I have, for the last 3 years as Attorney General, spent a lot of time meeting with folks in the office, outside the office, with the issues that confront them here in Massachusetts, whether it's people who've lost their homes because of predatory lending, people who lost their health care insurance, people who are worried about paying their energy bills. I mean, we spent all last fall going around the state talking to just regular folks about how they were going to pay for the rising cost of fuel. This is a campaign about getting voters to come out on December 8th, and so it has to be very focused. But we're not ducking debates, and we're not ducking regular people.
Ted Kennedy was known not only as a great senator for his ability to make laws on Capitol Hill, but also for his compassion and authentic empathy for the real people he served on a daily basis. Convince voters that you'll do the same.
Sure. I believe that my life in public service as district attorney and now as attorney general has been essentially about evening the playing field and making life fair for people who don't always get a fair shake. Kids who've been subject to domestic violence and to sexual abuse, domestic violence victims, homicide victims. As attorney general, trying to keep people in their homes. Remember, we went after predatory lenders not just to get money for the Commonwealth, but to force them to modify loans so that people wouldn't lose their homes.
Let's move on to issues. The death penalty. Some say your position on the death penalty is confusing. You're against it, but you recently signed your name to a brief, along with other attorneys general, from states that restrict death penalty appeals. This, some say, will make it more likely that when new evidence comes to light that could prove innocence, it won't be heard. So explain that conflict.
Well, let's be honest about that. The some say that is Congressman Capuano. I think it's important to note that Congressman Capuano is the only candidate in the race who's voted for a bill that provides for the death penalty. I have signed on to a brief that other AGs who are from states that don't have a death penalty are anti-death penalty in a case that has an egregious first-degree murder, a domestic violence case, where the issues are multiple, including a particular issue that's fairly arcane that would affect Massachusetts petitions on appeal.
Just so we're clear on this, so that people on the other end of the radio who might be wondering, terrorists do not deserve the death penalty. People who kill police officers who are working in the line of duty do not deserve the death penalty.
My position is that the death penalty is not acceptable under any circumstances. You cannot dig somebody up if you've executed them. You can open a jail cell if you've made a mistake.
Afghanistan. The president's trying to devise a plan for Afghanistan. It's said that he might send another 30,000 troops there next year. You've said you're reluctant to send more troops, but want to see a plan before deciding the next step. What would the Coakley plan be?
I don't think we should send more troops there. I don't think the case has been made for that. And I think we need to focus both our resources and our military where we need them most.
Federal stimulus. You've expressed doubt on the impact the federal stimulus package has had. What measure do you use to determine that? And as you know, some of your opponents support another round of stimulus. Should there be another round?
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to say I've expressed doubt on the stimulus. I just think it's too early to say whether it's been effective or not. So before you would look at stimulus 2 and where it would go, I think we need to do a report card on Massachusetts, and we're not done yet with our spending.
For some people, there's an event, or there are a few events, that wind up steering the course of a life. Is there such an event for you?
If I look at my professional life, Bob, and you know, I think I would have to say that making the change from working in the private sector after law school to going to be an assistant district attorney in the public sector, taking a huge pay cut, going up to Lowell District Court and loving every single minute of it was really a turning point for me. I firmly believe, as maybe corny as it sounds, that government service is important, that our best and our brightest should serve in the government. And it has driven, I think, what I've done since that time.
Attorney General Martha Coakley, Democrat running for Senate, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Our interview with Martha Coakley concludes our series of conversations on the road with the Democrats vying for a seat in the U.S. Senate. You'll hear from the Republicans in the race in the weeks ahead.